Angus Fraser, it's been a lovely quiet winter for you.
Yeah, sort of week by week, they just drift by eventless, don't they? I'd sort of leave cricket eventually one day, sort of, and knowing that I've been in it with a few more grey hairs. But it's been a difficult period, but it's an exciting time at the moment with the sun out here at Lords looking over the ground and an opportunity for a lot of young men hopefully to go out there and further their careers and make a really positive impression. So and hopefully that will result in Middlesex winning a few more games.
Only one place we can start really, and that's the captaincy, obviously, the overseas. It looked a wonderful signing, a masterstroke, and it was. Because if you had have had him for the full season, it would have been a real coup, as you can see, because the Australians have recognised, actually, we need him.
It is, and when I was driving into Lords, when Adam phoned me sort of sheepishly a week or so ago, obviously he'd been told the news, and your initial reaction is one of delight for him, because we want people to play for this club sort of with the hope of playing international cricket. When Chris Rogers came through and was selected, everybody was delighted for him, because it means you're doing what you're doing damn well. I mean, yes, there's another side to that, which is that means I've got to get off my backside and start to put our contingency plans in place and spend quite a bit of time on the phone to agents and people, but we'll get around that. But no, it's great for Adam, but it's obviously a bit of a blow for us, because not only is we knew he was a good player, but he's a top bloke and a really respected captain.
It's a thankless task, really, isn't it? I guess it's fair to say that you've started from the top down in your search to replace him this year, which is all you can do, but at this stage, securing a top signing is going to be pretty difficult, I'd imagine.
Well, it is, and I think we took the decision last sort of September that we'd take the punt that Chris Rogers was going to be picked for Australia, so that we could get the one that we wanted, rather than wait until Christmas and run the risk of a number of players being signed up. So we made that early decision, and obviously you just watch Adam get 100 after 100 after 100and sort of win the Sheffield Shield, but win two of the three domestic tournaments in Australia, and you sort of suddenly start, hang on, no, it's all right at the moment, and then he gets another hook, and all of a sudden it becomes we're going to have a look at this. And yes, you go around, you've got your list of players as that you look to should he be picked, but then there's always tours cropping up, and there's A tours, and there's the Caribbean Premier Leagues, and all these sort of things. So trying to find someone then who is available for the whole year is very hard. But we've identified the player that we want. We're in conversations with him, and hopefully in the next two or three days we'll have some good news on that front.
Because you said it was a shortlist. I guess that shortlist has become quite a lot shorter now in terms of availability. Once you see what can and can't be done, have you had
to? But people come, and then all of a sudden, because it's people don't think it's realistic. You're not got agents on the phone to you every other week, sort of saying, well, "What about him? What about him? What about him?" But then, bang, the news hits it comes out, and all of a sudden, there are a few phone calls. So that there were two or three names that we hadn't heard before that you sit down and you consider before you make the decision. You also look at the side as well, and the fact that we'd changed slightly in the way that Sam Robson and Stephen Finn were not selected on the tour to the West Indies. So that changes a bit, because, I mean, again, the first four games or the amount of cricket that they're playing would mean that they're missing a quarter of the season. So we've gained two players on one hand and obviously lost Adam on the other.
How close are you to resolving the captaincy issue? Because obviously that's overseas, perhaps goes hand in hand with the captaincy, perhaps it doesn't. Nick Compton's obviously said he wants it.
Yeah, and there are a number of players who sort of want it or are capable of doing it. I mean, James Franklin captains Wellington, David Milan as captain of the side in pre-season, Compo, Owen Morgan comes back as well, and obviously the potential for an overseas maybe to do it. So at the AGM I mentioned the fact that we might be making that decision when we announce our overseas player, but I think we might just sort of leave it a little bit and just see how things work out in the first few weeks before deciding who's going to captain the side when Adam goes.
You mentioned those names there, Robson, Compton, Finn. I mean, it's exciting times for them, and from an England selector's point of view as well, there was the chance they could have been in the test squad. It's obviously hugely to the benefit to Middlesex. They're not, although I'm sure you'd like them to be.
Yeah, I mean, let's say we want the financial department of Middlesex were wishing they were in the England side, because we get some sort of combination compensation and stuff like that. But they've got the chance to play here. I mean, with their feature in the first 11 in the West Indies, or not, they're better off playing some cricket, and hopefully they'll be determined to make a point in the first 6 weeks of the season, and Middlesex will benefit from that.
We talked about the winter for you with Middlesex, but also with England. It can't have been an easy winter for you. There must have been a fair few late nights and phone calls and a fair bit of stress.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. I mean, you pick squads, and obviously you try and get the best 15, 16 players that you can out there representing England, and you try and cover every angle and get a group together that have the potential to take the side forward, or to take the team forward, or to be competitive in tournaments. You wouldn't say you absolve responsibility, but once they get over there, then other decisions are made by a different group. It's been frustrating, because there's some good cricketers there, and they haven't performed as they would have liked, and as everybody else wouldn't have liked. But you move on and you look forward and you try and get it right next time.
I know it's difficult for you to answer at the moment, but in terms of selection, is everything on a level playing field at the moment? Because there's been a lot of reshuffling behind the scenes before you even think about the players at the moment. So is everybody clear about who they can select, can't select?
Yeah, I mean, there's a group we've been given the honour of selecting the England side. It's a responsibility, and it's something you're very proud to do. And we pick what we believe to be the best side, and what is the best group of cricketers moving forward. Obviously, the situation is changing at this moment in time. Paul's departure, I think everybody feels sorry for Paul. I mean, it's been a very difficult year, and for him, and you have huge sympathy for what's taken place, because I suppose the reaction is not quite like anybody's seen before, and the way that the disregard and the lack of tolerance and understanding that is shown by a lot of people, and the things that are said now, and it's been unpleasant. And someone like Paul no one deserves that. How things are going to work out, I don't think anybody's 100% sure at this moment in time. But as you say, you get your head down, you do the right thing, and you try and pick the best side you can for the England side moving forward.
Is there nothing that could be said at the moment then definitively on where selection is and who is available for selection and who may not be?
Well, where are you going with this?
A certain fellow who's down the road, Kevin Peterson.
Well, as I say, I've got nothing to add other than what Jimmy Whittaker and Peter Moores have already said, so that's where we're at.
Final note, Richie Benaud, very sad day for cricket. Today, we've all got such wonderful memories of him. Could you share a few of yours?
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, I say the alarm clock on my wife's side of the bed sort of wakes us up each morning, and she listens to Absolute in the morning. And the fact that sort of you're lying there and that's one of the news items on Absolute Radio highlights sort of how significant a figure he's been in British life. Obviously, it's only cricket that he's commentated on, but he's been a huge figure of English summers for I don't know how many years, but all I know is that sort of 30-odd years ago, I used to roll out of bed on a summer morning during the school holidays and flop on the sofa and spend 6 hours watching a day's test cricket, and he was a voice that I suppose helped grow my love for the game, and a great man, a great figure in cricket. And yeah, it's sad, but in some ways as well, you just think you'd rather have. Well, we've had a lot of Richie Benaud, which we can be grateful for, but you'd rather have a lot of someone than not a lot of someone. And the fact that we've got so many fond memories of listening to him and the pleasure that he's given of us, it shows the impact that he's had.
And he probably epitomised everything we love about the game, in particular the Test game, in the day and age of the rise of 2020 that we have now, the gentleman's game that is Test cricket.
Yeah, and his way of commentary, an understatement, sort of not speaking for the sake of it. You now sort of, it's very difficult, it's very rarely a, a quiet moment in a day's commentary. There's always got to be some sort of noise or someone speaking or making some sort of judgment. But no, Richie sort of, it's a policy, wasn't it? If you can't add to what's there on the pitches, then don't say a word. But when he did speak, it was very short, to the point, got what he wanted over and sort of assessed the situation as well as anyone. So, no, and again, sort of the way in which it was cricket. I mean, cricket's different to some sports. It's not about sort of like a game of football where you've got 90 minutes standing up, shouting, screaming, stressing yourself out. You've got to cricket to relax. And his sort of commentary sort of did relax people. It was very sort of soothing to listen to him describe the action.